Welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast with your host, Benjamin Chapin. And today is episode 3, where I sit down and have a conversation with Miriam Osborne. Fun fact, she's also my sister and awesome at everything she does in life. And she's a great person to know.
What an introduction. Okay, so a little bit about me. As you know from Ben's history, maybe, we grew up in church. We moved around a lot, and church was just my connection to people. I loved helping in the nursery. I worked with the youth group. It was just, that's how I got my connection from place to place. It was always at church. And I always wanted to be a mom, even from a young age. I think God designed me for motherhood. It was a calling he placed on me early. I have a brochure from middle school where my whole purpose of the brochure was to give advice to myself when I was older. And it was all these goals about becoming a mom, getting a degree so that I could teach my kids. So, I mean, the evidence is stacked. I wanted to be a mom. So at 19, I almost went to college, but instead I moved out, got 2 jobs, and met my now husband. We got married at the age of 20, and I was able to become a wife and then a mother, which was life goals for me. And that was really a exciting time in life. Unfortunately, I miscarried with my first child, but by the grace of God, I was able to have my first daughter in April of 2012, and then a second child in October of 2013. At this point, we decided to move to Nebraska, my husband and I and our 2 kids, because they were opening up more discount tires in the area, and we just had the energy and the will to just go and help the business. And so we decided to move all the way to Nebraska from Texas, moved away from family. It was my wilderness season, I kind of feel like. And I wasn't self-aware enough to realize how big connection was. And I was very young, and I didn't realize that church on Sunday wasn't enough. I needed to learn that faith had to be lived daily, not just an hour a week. So while in Nebraska, I got to be the stay-at-home mom that I always wanted to be. And I mean, they drove me a little crazy because, you know, my husband worked very long hours, 9, 10, 11-hour days. So it was me and 2 children every day. We went to the museum. We went to the zoo. We played in snow. It was a really fun time. Anyway, so cue life. We decided we wanted, well, let me step back. I was diagnosed with my first autoimmune disease when my second child was 1 year old. I went to my appointment and they're like, hey girl, your TSH is like 24 and it's supposed to be under 4. And I'm like, oh, I thought I was just tired because I have a toddler and a baby. No, I had Hashimoto's. So when we decided we wanted a 3rd kid, I was pretty excited. But then I miscarried again. And it was the weekend of my son's 2nd birthday, and I turned to alcohol. I do remember falling on my knees in the bathroom, begging God for my baby, like that it wasn't actually miscarrying. But, you know, God met me in my brokenness, and I was able to get pregnant again right away. However, when that 3rd son was born, I had a weird pain. And the doctors brushed me off, saying it was a pulled muscle and then it was a UTI. I ended up going to the ghetto ER to be taken seriously. And then they had to take me by ambulance back to my normal hospital because it was a blood clot in my ovarian vein that extended. Basically, it could have killed me if I listened to my doctor and didn't go to the ER. So my anxiety skyrocketed, and then I was misdiagnosed with a brain blood clot. I went to the ER because I had a headache. I was on blood thinners, and I couldn't get rid of this headache. And they're like, did you fall? And I I don't know. I mean, I don't think so, but I do drink, and maybe I hit my head and didn't realize it. And they did a scan, and they told me and sent me home saying I had a brain blood clot. And for about 13 hours, I thought I had a brain blood clot. And I remember being in my kitchen and again on my knees praying to God because I had a fresh new baby. I had two toddlers, and I just felt like I could die at any second because of blood clots. And so with that, like, I was clearly a mess. The husband's still working long hours. I'm having major health scares. And, you know, I was turning to alcohol every night once my husband was home. I felt like in my mind, because another adult was there, even if he was also drinking, the kids were okay. That's how I justified it in my mind. At that point, I was just numbing what only God could heal, but I didn't realize it. So I reached a point where I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Let's go back to Texas, be closer to family, get some help. Our third child, the youngest, was about to be one. And so this was April of 2016. We moved back to Texas. And in the following years, I started college. I also started watching my nephew for a bit. And for 3 years, I had pelvic pain that started out with 3 days of the month that turned into eventually 3 weeks of the month. And no doctor could tell me anything. So after surgery that led to early menopause, my body changed fast and I gained 100 pounds in a year. Talk about adding on the stress. During this time, I also was holding on to my illusion of control. Like, okay, I got my marriage. I have my kids. Let's become a Sunday school teacher. Something I enjoyed from a young age was helping out at church. So in August of 2019, I was able to become a Sunday school teacher and bounced around serving in the church. Ended up going to camp with the middle school group, ended up serving in the nursery most of the time because I love fresh babies. During this time, I was also diagnosed with a second autoimmune disease. But I always say I got lucky because within 6 months of the random knee swelling that made me limp, I was in a rheumatologist's office. And that's all because of a knee doctor realizing the signs. So I really did get lucky because most autoimmune diseases take 3 to 4 years for diagnosis. So with all of this crazy, I continued to drink to escape. I chased peace in a bottle when I needed the Prince of Peace. But no one could tell me that because in my mind, I was a functional alcoholic. I still raised my babies. They were fine. My marriage was fine. Look at us. We're going on almost 10 years of marriage at this point. Basically, I developed a very unhealthy relationship with alcohol in regard to all my stress. And because of that, I also made poor choices. I made a Facebook post while drinking that was eventually screenshot, sent to my church, and I had to step down from helping. The shame I felt during that time was humbling. It was meant to draw me closer to God, but instead I ran. He never stopped pursuing me, though. In 2021, December, I graduated cum laude with a 3.7 GPA in 3 years and 3 months of schooling. On the outside, I was achieving, but on the inside, I was still broken. During this time, I started to garden, but on a very small scale. I wanted food that I wouldn't care if my kids wasted, but they would try it because they grew it in our yard, and it was fun. This is my idea behind it all. They would eat it because it's fun. They really only cared about the strawberries, but I continued gardening. It kind of gave me peace. So, once I graduated college, though, working outside the home when you've been a stay-at-home mom is a whole new ballgame. I was in a very selfish headspace and almost felt like the world owed me in a way because I stayed at home and sacrificed being with my kids. And now it was my turn to get to go out into the world and have fun, you know, being the functional drunk that I was. But God was like, slow your roll, girl. So in early 2023, my hips started acting up. Throughout that year, I ended up trying 10 plus different things for that hip. But this is important. The hip started acting up at the early 2023. In March 2023, my dad died. A humbling moment with that is the last conversation I had with him, I don't remember. I have a photo of the FaceTime because I took it, but I don't remember it because I was drinking at that time. In May of 2023, I was let go from my job after an incident I regret. By summer of 2023, I couldn't sit for longer than 15 minutes. I had to stand, which eventually I would start to hurt. So then I would have to lay flat. God allowed it all to crumble around me so I'd finally surrender. So obviously with all that, my drinking had picked up. So when August of 23 came around and I heard a TikTok video, it ultimately just, I guess, changed the course of my life. Keep in mind, my firstborn at this time was 10, just started middle school, and I felt like life was passing by. My dad had died earlier in the year. My baby's all grown up. Life is fleeting. But back to the TikTok video. I actually went back today and found the video to see who the speaker was, and it's Pastor Crystal Sparks. And it was a video where she said, "The battles you refuse to fight, your kids will have to fight." She goes on to say, to mention some specific battles, but she ends with, "I'm here to announce to you that it's time for you to begin to rise and fight. How many more generations will the enemy take out until you stand up and say enough is enough?" This weighed heavily on my heart. I couldn't look at my kids without feeling immense shame because I was just numbing life and taking the easy way out and pushing it on them to deal with. Like, how could I do that? I realized God wasn't done with me and wanted me to rewrite my family's legacy. So I finally gave God the pen to write my story. And on August 17th, 2023, I started my sober life. So being sober, unemployed, grieving the loss of my father, raising three kids, chronic pain, husband working long hours, I was at the perfect place to really have nowhere else to go and to have a heart open and willing for God to show up. And show up he did. In December of 2023, I was able to get a little heart ablation fixed that I never would have known I had if I didn't get checked out because my own father's heart issues. In January 24, I was able to get in with a new rheumatologist and start medication for my autoimmune disease. I was able to get into therapy, which is one of the tools God used to renew my mind. Even in healing, I saw God's hand. He was restoring me physically and spiritually. In February of 2024, I got in with a temp employment agency, and a week later, I had a working interview for a 90-day job. I figured by the end of that, I'd be walking normal, and it was a God thing that this company needed me so that I could finally come and heal. I ended up staying on with the company and was hired on officially in June of 2024. In October 2024, my brother's family moved to Waco, and my heart felt love and peace it hadn't felt in years. We started going to church with them, and little by little, my faith began to bloom again. Remember that small-scale gardening I started in 2021? Throughout the years, my little garden in my backyard grew in size, and it grew into the only place that felt safe when life got heavy. Being hurt by people, losing friendships, family, being misunderstood, getting fired, I realized I couldn't keep giving all of my energy away to things that broke me. I needed a place to put my heart that wouldn't reject it, so I turned to the soil. In my garden, I could breathe, cry, sing, pray. I could watch life come from places that looked empty, and it reminded me what God was doing in me. Weeds are things that God needed me to remove from my life. Bitterness, shame, and seeds planted were hope. Even when I couldn't see growth yet, I trusted that something was happening beneath the surface, just like God was doing with my heart. Today, I can honestly say I'm still a work in progress, but I'm God's work in progress. I'm still a sinner. I still fail daily, but I love fiercely and I hope fiercely. And I know that my past mistakes don't define me. God's grace does. I'm still learning, still growing, still healing. I do not have it all figured out. I still wrestle with health issues, and I'll admit I don't fully trust doctors, but I've learned God can work through them too. Therapy has been one of God's greatest gifts in my healing journey, helping me untangle my ADHD, trauma, all of the noise, so that I can keep becoming who He made me to be. I'm over 2 years sober from alcohol, not because I'm strong, but because God is faithful. It started with a TikTok that wrecked me, a stubborn will that refused to give up, and a savior who never stopped pursuing me. Today, my kids have a mom who is present, a mom who remembers what she said the night before, a mom who is not perfect, but who fights to be whole for them and for the generations after us. Life still isn't easy, but it's beautiful. I've learned that even when the ground feels dry, God is still planting seeds. Even when I can't see what He's doing, He's working beneath the surface. So if you're listening and feel buried, broken, or forgotten, hold on. You're not buried. You're being planted. And in time, with His grace, you will grow again.
You mentioned the wilderness season when you went to Nebraska, and you were drinking at that time, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you found yourself on the floor praying. And, you know, I think there's a misconception out there that if we're Christian, that we can't be drinking and doing things like prayer. And I'm just curious for you, as you were going through those times in prayer, like what was your heart like in those prayers, if you can recall anything?
My heart was broken. But I mean, if you even look at the times where I was on my knees praying for God, it was when I felt most scared and uncertain of the future. But even during those times, my alcohol issue wasn't even on my radar as an issue. I fully believed, because I was functional, that everything was fine in regards to it. It wasn't until God removed everything else, like the job, my earthly father, and my health, kind of. Like, it wasn't until all the other noise was removed where I was able to really look at myself and self-reflect and realize I have an issue. And if I don't address this issue, I'm pushing it off on my babies that I have yearned for since a very young age, and I just couldn't do that. But at that point, again, it wasn't like, for me, alcohol wasn't the main issue. The main issue was a heart issue, and alcohol was just the symptom, or I guess.
Okay, so like, I'm trying to picture faith in God during that season of life. So you mentioned you were scared. So almost like I'm doing life on my own and in my own strength, but this scary thing, brain clot scare, right? For 13 hours, you're like, let's bring God into the situation because I'm scared to death right now. It was more like, hey, I'm hitting a problem. Let's bring God into the equation for a minute. Is that what you're kind of?
Well, as I mentioned, like, when God had to remove everything, He had to remove my illusion of control first. And so, yeah, during that time of my life, I did feel like I was doing it all. Like, my husband worked long hours, days. I was the one raising the babies. He didn't have to. He was at work making the money, so he didn't have to worry about punishment, because he wants to punish your kid if you only see them for 45 minutes a day when they're awake, you know? So it did feel like everything was on my shoulders, and that's a hard and heavy feeling. But I think being raised in the church and knowing God's strength is why, in my hardest times, I was falling to my knees for God, even though it didn't ultimately, like, it was just a small moment in those years. It was an impactful moment because I mean, it shows that even throughout life,
God shows up, right?
Yeah. And God is a constant.
Yeah.
I knew that he would be there.
Yeah.
Despite me not being there.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. When you moved back to Texas in 2016, you briefly mentioned you struggled with your weight a little bit and you put on around 100 pounds. And I'm curious how that impacted your day to day and, you know, how that ties in, you feel, to your story. And yeah.
Well, I think that, you know, gaining the weight also was God pointing out, like, you're not in control, Miriam, because I even was with a dietitian at the time. So I was doing everything I could to make sure I would not be gaining weight. I was following all the doctor's orders, and yet the weight was still just stacking on. And so I feel like that, along with the additional health diagnosis, along with then getting embarrassed enough with that Facebook post that I stepped down from church, I think it was just more that God needed to show that I have no control over and I have to learn to give it to him.
That gives me chills in my body right now, thinking about how he stacked the pressure on through different ways that would help you. It was like this individual plan God had for you, and he rolled it out to you section by section. Even though these difficulties suck as we go through them, God allows them into our life so he can use it to draw us closer to him.
Exactly.
Awesome.
It really did suck going through it.
Yeah, painful.
Yep.
And you brought up our father's death in 2023. I remember this earlier this year in March of 25, you went on a little sabbatical, and I was just wondering if you wanted to share about that.
Yeah, so that's a good point. So I guess the statute of limitations ends at 2 years for pursuing like a wrongful death against a hospital or a doctor. And I learned something earlier this year that almost made me feel like we had proof the doctor was at fault. And I wrestled with that because in my mind, there was a reason why God didn't let me find that out earlier in the whole process. And I feel like it's because I would have 100% went after that doctor and destroyed his life for essentially destroying all of ours, I felt like. But so, you know me, I'm in therapy now. So I'm like, okay, I have this urge to just go to a cliff and scream and cry off the side of it. And the closest I could get was a park, like an hour away, a Texas park. I forget the name. But I decided to go there and I was going to scream, but instead I sat down and started to write. And I wrote about my dad dying and about the doctor and what I would wish for him. And I started to write a really mean thing and I couldn't finish it because I didn't wish bad on him. I wished that he could use his gift of healing people for better, like saving people on the operating table. Maybe this changed his life and he's going to do better. I don't know. God knows. But I didn't actually wish this doctor guy harm. And so then that was a realization of itself. And I remember looking up and there was a red cardinal bird. And then I tried to chase it down and get a photo of it. But I felt like God was with me and I felt like my dad was with me. And so I continued to write and I basically decided to rewrite, what is it called? The thingy? Obituary. Okay. I decided to rewrite his obituary how I would have wrote it. And as I started to write it out, I was listing things about my dad that I would want other people to know. And I realized that there was a lot of parallels about things in my own life that I loved. And so I realized that I was living my life in a way that my dad would be proud. And it just made me realize, like, that's how he's a part of my life now.
Yeah. When I think about the parallels, I think about your care for your children. You know, all throughout your story that you shared today, your kids were a huge part of the motivation because, you know, when you had the brain clot scare, your kids were on your mind, you know, if you were to die and them not have a mother. And then, you know, with the TikTok video in 23 that sparked all this stuff, it was all surrounding your children and your care for your children. And part of the legacy that dad left behind was his love for his children. And that's why all of us miss him like crazy. And it was so hard to lose him in our life. So yeah, that's a parallel that I see between you and dad. That's pretty strong.
Thank you.
So you've been sober for a little over 2 years now. How's that been going?
Well, interesting, actually. I think other people have more of a problem with it than I do sometimes. People just don't invite you to hang out as much because I think seeing a sober person makes them realize, I don't know, it makes them realize they shouldn't quite be as drinking as much. I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know.
All right. Okay, let's shift a little bit. And I want to dig into parenting just briefly. And can you tell the listeners how old your kids are?
Yeah. Our daughter is 13. We have a son that will be 12 next month. And then our youngest is 9.
And what is the hardest part of parenting right now in this season for you?
One of the hard things I've noticed is that as the kids get older, their problems get bigger. And I'm very much like a fixer person. So if I hear something, I want to fix it. And if I can't fix it, then I feel useless. And it's then I almost get agitated. Like, what are we going to do then if we're just, you know, talking to talk about it? I don't know. I struggle with that. So something that has been hard for me is just listen and just validate what they're feeling, because my initial go-to reaction is to try and fix. And that is not what they need all of the time. In fact, they will cringe a lot if they hear advice.
I would agree with that. When my daughter was 13, she started staying in her room all the time. And, you know, between school and going to her dad's house, we didn't get to see her very much. So when she would come to our house and sit in her room, it was a hard adjustment for us. But as my boys get older, I'm starting to realize that this is the way that it goes. It's like slowly detaching from the family unit. And that way it won't be easy when they finally leave, but it will definitely, you know, just be the next natural step. And I think that's an important part of this whole thing. Okay, let's talk about gardening. Found some awesome gardening scriptures that I think are fun. The first one is Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. Have you seen this parallel between waiting for plants to grow and waiting on God's timing in your life?
Yeah, I definitely have seen it. I think I'm in the middle of waiting for God's timing on a big family issue, actually, right now, personally. But, you know, it's just like when I bought fruit trees in my garden. You plant them and they don't actually produce fruit the first couple of years, which was new to me. And so I kind of think of the fruit trees when I think of God's timing, because I bought them also at all the same age, I thought. But my peach tree has produced for 2 years now and my apple trees have not produced at all yet. So it's really interesting how the garden can kind of really show that timing is pretty important. And I surely do not know what's going to happen when I kind of wing it when I'm in the garden, but God does. God's got this and he knows.
Well, and I would add to that, like, talk going off of parenting, like we've been talking about and stuff, like we're putting in the work, right? Like those 2 years of waiting on the fruit tree, we're putting in the work and we're hopeful and we're trusting God is going to let these humans turn out decent in the long run. But we don't know because God's the one that creates the growth. And ultimately, every person has to make decisions in their life. And we don't know what's going on. All we can do is keep planting and taking care as we wait for that harvest to come.
Right. And I think, you know, how you brought that back to raising kids, I think that God does let us see little blooms and flowers before the fruit because, you know, it gives us that hope. You know, our two boys are in flag football and my heart could not take tackle football at this point yet, but I know one day that's going to happen. But anyways, so after one of the plays, my son had pulled a flag off of another player and I saw him help that child up off the ground after that and hand him the flag. And my heart just filled because I've repeatedly saw other kids not care about the player once they got him down. And so I feel like that was a little flower bud showing me like, hey, you're doing good, mama. Your kids are going to be okay.
Hashtag winning. All right. I love this verse. It's painful, but it's good. And I think it's important with the garden and in our life. And it kind of relates to the wilderness season and the difficulties that we come across. It's John 15:2. It says, every branch that does bear fruit, he, meaning Jesus, prunes that it may bear more fruit. How do we connect pruning in the garden to the way God prunes us spiritually in our lives?
If you listen to my story at the start of it, at a very young age, getting married and being able to start my family, that was my life goal up until that point. I really didn't have goals for after that. Even like being a mother, my kids were always babies or toddlers. I never really pictured them as teenagers. So I was so young. And as the years kept going and health issues, moving away, friends leaving, job losses, more health issues. I feel like God just used each instance to slowly prune at me and get me to where I could finally have an open heart and hear him and have no illusion of any kind of self-control about life. You know, it was all in God's hands and God's got this. And I needed to step back because my way is nothing compared to his.
Well, and think about the backside of, you know, these kids growing up and becoming adults and stuff, you will see a bunch of fruit produced in their lives by the conversations you can have with them. Because when they're trying to control and trying to hold on to things, you can explain your own story, your own struggle, and hopefully they can learn from that and grow from that.
Yeah, hopefully the kids listen.
That's the hope. This passage in Ecclesiastes 3:2 refers to a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. And the question I have written down here, how has gardening helped appreciate God's different seasons in life? And before you answer, I'll just take a minute as you think about that and talk about the different seasons of life. As I come up on the age of 40, I am noticing that the way I process things in the world around me is much different than in my 20s and in my 30s and, you know, earlier in my teens and all that stuff. But it's transforming. The other day, I was out to dinner with my wife and I saw this little blonde girl run by and her mom was chasing her and the mom seemed a little frustrated, but I saw that little child and like it was different than when I was younger, if that makes sense. Like I saw that child and I thought about that time in my life and I was like, wow, it truly is just a blink. Time feels different and God is constantly showing me that, you know, sometimes there's a season for rest. Sometimes the fruit tree don't bear fruit. Sometimes it's a time of pruning. Sometimes, you know, it's just different seasons that we all go through. And I think one of the dangers that we have in the church as a whole is we can start getting into a comparison game of fruit trees. It's like, hey, my fruit tree is bearing a lot of fruit over here, but Jimmy over there, he doesn't have any fruit. And well, the scripture is true in saying that we will know them by their fruit. We can't judge someone fully when we just see a part of their season that they're in. It's God that judges the heart. And I think that's just something that's important for us all to consider about the different seasons that we all go through.
Yeah, no, you've made a good point. And I feel like you've answered your question so great. I don't need to.
But it said related to gardening, and I thought maybe you had some extra master gardener type answer to.
I am not a master gardener. I am very rookie, noob. I'm a noob. I wing it.
Garden's amazing. Don't let her tell you otherwise.
Okay, so regarding the seasons, I really appreciate all of the seasons. I learned so much in my garden. In fact, I got to see a new kind of, like, basically a bug. It's a bug on a plant, but it's, like, white and furry. And it's not a good plant bug to have, but because it was one I'd never seen, I got excited about it. And then I had to, you know, kill it all. But it was just, it's a reminder to me that there's so much more than what you can see. If you just looked from afar, that plant was doing great. In 2 weeks, it was completely dead because of the pest damage. So, you know, there's going to be seasons of where you should rest. And that's something I need to work on personally a lot more. And I'm trying. You know, I got to schedule the rest, I think, which seems like more work, but whatever. But I think it's also parallels to the fact that we can't necessarily let our guard down fully, if that makes sense. And maybe that's because I don't know how to rest. But I feel like there's always something that can be nurtured or done in the garden. And sometimes it's spraying a copper fungicide on plants so you don't have pests. Sometimes it's clearing debris so your drainage system can flow. Sometimes it's tilling the soil or pruning the trees. But there's always something working, and God is always doing something in our lives, even if it seems like it's not important. It all works together, and God is just so good with that.
So where does Sabbath rest fit into all this?
Yeah, I'm still working on that part.
All right. That's fair. That's fair. We want honesty. Okay, you are a mother that has suffered with chronic pain for a long time. If you can offer somebody who is, you know, back up a few years, maybe a decade, that mom out there that is struggling, she's in pain, she's in struggles, her life feels like it's falling apart at the seams, she's got littles at home, she's in physical pain every day. What is an encouragement that you can share with her today?
That God's got this. He might have to prune you a little bit if you're stubborn and hard-headed like myself. But ultimately, if you go to him and give it to him, God's got this. He will be your comfort. He'll be your strength. He'll be there when you're on the bathroom floor crying out because of all of the pain in the world that you can't handle anymore. I would say go to church and find people you connect with, real, authentic people. Don't let any shame or, you know, life keep you from it, because ultimately it's the connections that we make in this world that will help us have a healthier mindset, and we can share life with, do life. Like, you moving down here, Benjamin, was a pivotal moment in my adult life and ultimately helped me get back to where my faith should be, because there was the human connection element that made me go back to church and I wasn't as embarrassed.
That's so awesome. And at that time, I'll go ahead and share how this happened, okay? Because we were struggling up in Idaho, not sure what to do. We couldn't pay rent. We couldn't figure out how to make it work. And we kept praying. We kept praying. And I got this weird idea one time. I was like, we should go live with Miriam. And then I was like, wait, we don't really talk that often. And that would be kind of weird to just call up my sister and be like, hey, can I come and bring my whole family and just live with you and have no like job or anything until I can figure one out? I was like, no, I can't do that. So instead, I decided to give her a call. And we were talking. She was showing me the garden on FaceTime, of course. If you know Miriam, she's going to put you on FaceTime and she's going to show you the garden. And if you're in person, you're going to go for a walk in that garden. It's amazing. But anyways, so I'm talking to her. We're talking like, I think about an hour or so. And she's sitting in her chair. I'll never forget this. She was sitting in the chair on her back porch. And she goes, y'all should just move down here and live with me. And it was confirmation of what I was praying about. And it was history after that. I mean, Crystal, my wife and I, we sold everything that didn't fit in the back of the van and we just went. And we trusted that God was going with us. And piece by piece, you know, go listen to the other podcast. You want that story. But anyways, God went before us and he had a plan that intertwined with Miriam's life and her story. You heard that today. And it's all part of God's design and his plan for our life. It's awesome to be a part of what God's doing. Okay, the other thing that you mentioned, you talked about your sobriety and struggle with alcohol and stuff like that. So for the Christian out there that, you know, they probably have a lot of shame and guilt about that, you know, surrounding having a problem with drinking, but it's something that a lot of Christians struggle with. And do you have anything that you could share to encourage them during this time? Like they want to quit, but they don't know how, and they feel shame, they feel guilt, they don't know what to do because they fear judgment.
So for me, drinking, you know, it was, my motivation was my kids, as you brought up. In fact, every week that I would hit that milestone, my oldest child would high five me. And every month I was sober, she'd high five me. So I had a huge motivation reminding me daily of what I was doing. So in some ways that was easier because it was in my face. You know, you can't solve anything if you're lying about it or justifying it. And in my mind for so long, like I said, in Omaha, alcohol wasn't even on my radar as an issue because I justified it. It wasn't a problem. I was a functional alcoholic in my mind. I still paid the bills. Well, went, you know, raised my kids. They were alive and healthy and fed and happy. But that wasn't being honest or taking any kind of self-awareness seriously. So, I mean, my advice to them would just be to have an honest conversation with yourself. And hopefully you have a safe person that you can have a conversation with. But then surrounding yourself with the people who want the best for you in life. I've only found that consistently in a church congregation because the world is so full of evil. But I mean, who you hang out with day in and day out is really going to influence you. And I know growing up, parents always say, like, you know, pick your friends wisely, but it's true. You will have way more issues and temptations if you're hanging out with people who struggle with the same sin. But I also want to say, because of what I've been through, I do not judge anyone who drinks because there's so many layers to everything and all of the pain. And reminding yourself of God's grace and God's love is going to be bigger than reminding yourself of your humanity.
Thank you. And today I want to end our podcast with a scripture that I think is super awesome since we have Miriam, the Master Gardener, on today. It's Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. What a beautiful promise that the Lord makes us. I want to thank you, Miriam, for coming on the podcast and being vulnerable and sharing your story with us. And yeah, I think it's going to be an encouragement for a lot of people out there. And I thank you for that. Listeners, I thank you for listening to today's podcast. I do want to ask, if this has encouraged you in any kind of way, please share it with someone who needs hope and encouragement, and be sure to follow the show so you don't miss what's next. You've been listening to the Beyond Sunday podcast with Benjamin Chapin. Remember, faith was never meant to stay inside church walls. See you next time.